So into my keyboards, I didn't even want to go to sleep at the end of the night. I'd be in bed under the covers jamming away until my folks had to shut it down. I could go and go and go and go. And I didn't stop. It took about 30 years before I took any kind of break. I vacationed in Europe back in 2017. 3 weeks of just driving around and taking in France, Germany, Austria, the Netherlands. It was amazing. 2 weeks into it, I realized it was the longest I'd ever gone without playing keys since I started. I'd never been away from a piano that long. I thought about finding a music store and sitting there to play for a while. Tried a couple times, but nothing popped up. By the time I got home, 21 days I'd been away, I couldn't wait to play. And it was magical. I've never really gotten tired of what I do, but I don't think I've ever considered the benefits of stepping back for a bit. Since then, I try to take more breaks. Shorter ones. But if I'm feeling uninspired, tired, and that old running in circles itch, I'll take a good few days off and let my brain recharge. I always come back in a better place. Sometimes it's good to just break the routines I get myself into. Like restarting your computer. It'll run fine if you keep it on nonstop, but after a restart, oh, then it's all fresh and good to go. I'm just at the end of a reboot right now, actually. It's been a few weeks since I dug into my keys, and I feel like I'm ready to get back into it. Enjoy the show tonight. I'm Jeff Haysalt, and I'm at the controls. Thank you.
determine its size. To create the first dimension, all we need is a line joining any two points. A first dimensional object has length only, no width or depth. If we now take our first dimensional line and draw a second line crossing the first, we've entered the second dimension. The object we're representing now has a length and a width, but no depth. To help us with imagining the higher dimensions, we're going to represent our second dimensional object as being created using a second line, which branches off from the first. Now let's imagine a race of two-dimensional creatures called flatliners. What would it be like to be a flatlander living in their two-dimensional world? A two-dimensional creature would have only length and width, as if they were royalty on an impossibly flat playing card. Picture this, a flatlander couldn't possibly have a digestive tract because the pipe from their mouth to their bottom would divide them into two pieces. And a flatlander trying to view our three-dimensional world would only be able to perceive shapes in two-dimensional cross-sections. A balloon, for instance, would start as a tiny dot, become a hollow circle which inexplicably grows to a certain size, then shrinks back to a dot before popping out of existence. And we three-dimensional human beings would seem very strange indeed to a flatlander. Imagining the third dimension is the easiest for us, because every moment of our lives, that's what we're in. A three-dimensional object has length, width, and height. But here's another way to describe the third dimension. If we imagine an ant walking across a newspaper which is lying on the table, we can pretend that the ant is a flatlander, walking along on a flat two-dimensional newspaper world. If that paper is now folded in the middle, we create a way for our flatlander ant to magically disappear from one position in its two-dimensional world and be instantly transported to another. We can imagine that we did this by taking a two-dimensional object and folding it through the dimension above, which is our third dimension. Once again, it will be more convenient for us as we imagine the higher dimensions if we can think of the third dimension in this way. The third dimension is what you fold through to jump from one point to another in the dimension below. The first three dimensions can be described in these words: length, width, and depth. What word can we assign to the fourth dimension? One answer would be duration. If we think of ourselves as we were 1 minute ago, and then imagine ourselves as we are at this moment, the line we could draw from the 1 minute ago version to the right now version would be a line in the fourth dimension. If you were to see your body in the fourth dimension, you'd be like a long undulating snake, with your embryonic self at one end and your deceased self at the other.
You're currently listening to Current Fantasy on The Hawk, 101.5 FM in Hamilton.
second-dimensional flatland. Just like that flatlander could only see two-dimensional cross-sections of objects from the dimension above, we, as three-dimensional creatures, can only see three-dimensional cross-sections of our fourth-dimensional self. One of the most intriguing aspects of there being one dimension stacked on another is that down here in the dimensions below, we can be unaware of our motion in the dimensions above. Here's a simple example. If we make a Mobius strip, take a long strip of paper, add one twist to it, and take the ends together, and draw a line down the length of it, our line will eventually be on both sides of the paper before it meets back with itself. It appears, somewhat amazingly, that the strip has only one side, so it must be a representation of a two-dimensional object. And this means that a two-dimensional flatlander, traveling down the line we just drew, would end up back where they started without ever feeling like they left the second dimension. In reality, they would be looping and twisting in the third dimension, even though to them it felt like they were traveling in a straight line. The fourth dimension, time, feels like a straight line to us, moving from the past to the future. But that straight line in the fourth dimension is, like the Mobius strip, actually twisting and turning in the dimension above. So the long undulating snake that is us will feel like it is moving in a straight line in the fourth dimension. But there will actually be, in the fifth dimension, a multitude of paths that we can branch to at any given moment. Those branches will be influenced by our own choice, chance, and the actions of others. Quantum physics tells us that the subatomic particles that make up our world are collapsed from waves of probability simply by the act of observation. In the picture we are drawing for ourselves here, we can now start to see how each of us are collapsing the indeterminate wave of probable futures contained in the fifth dimension into the fourth dimensional line that we are experiencing as time. What if you wanted to go back into your own childhood and visit yourself? We can imagine folding the fourth dimension through the fifth, jumping back through time and space to get there. But what if you wanted to get to the world where, for example, you had created a great invention as a child that by now had made you famous and rich? We can imagine our fourth dimensional selves branching out from our current moment into the fifth dimension. But no matter where you go from here, great child inventor timeline is not one of the available options in your current version of time. You can't get there from here, no matter how much choice, chance, and the actions of others become involved. There are only two ways to get to that world. One would be to travel back in time, somehow trigger the events that caused you to come up with your invention, and travel forward in the fifth dimension to see one of the possible new worlds that might have resulted. But that would be taking the long way. The shortcut we could take would involve us folding the fifth dimension through the sixth dimension, which allows us to instantly jump from our current position to a different fifth-dimensional line. In our description of the fourth dimension, we imagine taking the dimension below and conceiving of it as a single point. The fourth dimension is a line which can join the universe as it was 1 minute ago to the universe as it is right now. Or, in the biggest picture possible, we could say that the fourth dimension is a line which joins the Big Bang to one of the possible endings of our universe. Started from our Big Bang. join to all the possible endings for our universe, a concept which we often refer to as infinity, and treat them all as a single point. So for us, a point in the seventh dimension would be infinity. All possible timelines which could have or will have occurred from our Big Bang. When we describe infinity as being a point in the seventh dimension, we're only imagining part of the picture. If we're drawing a seventh dimensional line, we need to be able to imagine what a different point in the seventh dimension is going to be, because that's what our line is going to be joined to. The answer is, there could be other completely different infinities created through initial conditions, which are different from our own Big Bang. Different initial conditions will create different universes, where the basic physical laws such as gravity or the speed of light are not the same as ours. And the resulting branching timelines from that universe's beginning to all its possible endings will create an infinity which is completely separate from the one which is associated with our own universe. So the line we draw in the seventh dimension will join one of those infinities to another. And as boggling as the magnitude of what we're exploring here might be, we're to branch off from that seventh dimensional line to draw a line to yet another. This is where we hit a roadblock. If we're going to imagine the 10th dimension as continuing the cycle and being a line, then we're going to have to imagine a different point that we can draw that line to. But there's no place left to go. By the time we have imagined all possible timelines for all possible universes as being a single point in the 10th dimension, it appears that our journey is done. Physicists tell us that superstrings vibrating in the 10th dimension are what create the subatomic particles which make up our universe, and all of the other possible universes as well. In other words, all possibilities are contained within the 10th dimension, which would appear to be the concept we have just built for ourselves, as we imagine the 10 dimensions build one on. Thank you.
And that's it. You've been listening to Current Fantasy on the Hawk, CIOI, 101.5 FM in Hamilton. All the music featured in the last hour has been written, improvised, manipulated, and performed live off the floor by myself. There's lots more music and videos at currentfantasy.com, and you can find more of my music on Spotify, Apple Music, Bandcamp, and everywhere else you get your tunes. Thanks very much for tuning in tonight. Back next week, same time, for more Electronic Encounters. Until then, stay safe, stay happy. I'm Jeff Haysalt. Good evening.
In Hamilton, we're CIOI-FM. 101.5. The Hawk.